Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, and welcome back to Tripping Up. I'm your host, Nina Clapperton, author of the travel blog, Nina Out and About. Today, I'm speaking to another blogger who has some insane trip ups to share. I'm speaking with Agnes Simig, who is so cool. She's very much about off the beaten track destinations and exploring places that most people don't get to because there's just not a lot of information about them. After years as a tour guide, she has been to some really fascinating locations and has had a fair number of trip ups along the way. Let's dive right in. This is Agnes Simig on Tripping Up.
Now boarding.
Hi, Agnes. Welcome to Tripping Up.
Thank you very much for hosting me.
We're so excited to have you here today. I know you're an avid traveler and tour guide, but our guests don't know you very well yet. So I'd like you to tell us about how you travel and why you travel.
Okay, so as you mentioned, I'm a tour guide, which means I'm also traveling with groups. I'm doing organized trips. I'm from Hungary originally, and I work with Hungarian groups abroad. In the beginning, I started to do European trips, but lately I'm more specialized in outside Europe, Middle East, Israel, Iran, and also Southeast Asia, Malaysia, and Singapore. These are the main destinations, and India. India is one of my favorite, by the way. When I have free time, I'm quite crazy because most tour guides like having a rest home and not traveling, but then I like discovering myself as well. It's a little bit different. It's also fun to have these organized tours, but when I'm on my own, then I'm a backpacker, honestly. I'm quite spontaneous and I like off the beaten track destinations. I like traveling also as a solo female. I started in Oman, I went to Iran alone, I was in Senegal in Africa, so it's a little bit more interesting than the general destinations. I travel also with my husband, but always I like backpacking, like simple accommodation, using public transport, and I like the interaction with the locals to really get to know the culture. It's important for me.
That's so true. Yeah, locals, they change everything with the trip, honestly.
I think so, that honestly, to see an attraction, a world famous attraction, is less important for me than living the life, the local life, and to learn about how they are thinking. And these are the most memorable experiences. It's, of course, it's good to know, for example, or good to see the Taj Mahal in India. I wouldn't say, I have seen like 20 times and I'm always impressed, but there are some other experiences which you can only get when you are traveling alone and you let yourself get into even tough situations.
Yeah, which is, I mean, what this podcast is about, that like things can go awry and they can be the best parts of your trips.
Yeah, and I'm sure too.
And I'm sure with all of your adventures that you have picked up a pretty weird souvenir that we would love if you would share with us.
Souvenir. I'm not the person who is really collecting souvenirs because I focus on experiences. But when I was in India, then I saw that people were selling on the street a bunch of branches, and I didn't know what's that. So I asked my colleague, and he said it's like a local toothbrush. It's the neem tree's branch. Which they sell, and some people still use that. You can't see that in every part of India, but for example, in Mumbai, there are a lot of neem trees. The neem tree is actually very beneficial, and they use it in Ayurvedic therapies, but I never saw the branch. It looks like nothing. Like you go out, you see a tree, and then the branch of the tree. And they start to pile a little bit, the end, the top, and then they just start to use like a toothbrush. They brush their teeth, they brush their tongue as well. So when somebody is going to India and sees something like that, then think about it, that it's actually very good, and it makes the teeth very white. At the same time, so maybe better than the toothpaste. I don't know.
Have you ever used yours as a toothbrush, or is it just decorative?
Actually, no. Maybe the with my toothpaste, but it was something interesting. So I came back home with a bunch of these toothbrushes from India, and then I gave us a souvenir to my friends, who were like, okay, that's very generous. But then I explained what was that, and then of course it was fun, and then they said, oh wow, that's great.
Yeah, then they stopped thinking that you're just cheap and picked up a bunch of twigs at the airport. Yeah. Or something.
That's cheap. It's very cheap.
That's amazing. Well, I cannot wait to hear your tripping up story, if you would share it with us, please.
Yeah, I had also stories, of course, as solo travel, but now I would share something when I was a tour guide. I can say that I lived a lot of things. Actually, I'm famous for that. My colleagues know that there's always something happening to me. So we were in India, and if you have been to India, I don't know.
No, I haven't yet.
No, I haven't yet. Okay. Anything can happen there. This is really a crazy country, and you should never be surprised. There's always something new that never happened before. So the first thing that usually tourists visit is the so-called Golden Triangle. It's like Delhi, Agra, and Jaipur cities. They form a triangle, so it's called the Golden Triangle. It's the most touristic, the first thing to start with in India. So I do that very often. So we were in Agra, where the Taj Mahal is. We visited Taj Mahal, and after that we were about to continue our journey to Jaipur. It's the famous pink city in India. But between the big cities in India, there is a highway connection, and only the highway. There is nothing else. So when we were just on the highway, then suddenly we saw a barricade. And what happened, then completely the traffic stopped. We saw that the trains even stopped, and then we learned what happened exactly. There were rebels, and they completely blocked the highway, and we didn't know how to continue. The reason I just want to quickly summarize why was this rebel, actually, it's about the caste system. There were Jat people who were rebelling because they were not satisfied about their position in the caste system. You have to know, or you've probably heard about the untouchables. They are really the lowest part of the Indian society, but the Indian government is now supporting them. The government gives them quotas in the schools, at the place of works, so supports them. These Jats, they don't belong to the untouchables, but they are still very poor. So they were actually doing all that to protest against their high situation. They want to belong to the untouchables because then they get more quotas, they get more benefits. The caste system is still very, very strong in India. It's enrooted in the society, and it's also very interesting and unique to India. So they blocked the highway. There is no other way. But we said, okay, we have a tool also, we have a responsibility, so we have to continue. We have no time to waste. So we still tried to leave the highway and to take some countryside roads, secondary roads, which in India, well, nobody knows them. but we had to try, we had no other choice. Sometimes it was so narrow. I was so scared that something will happen. And then we were so close to the houses in the villages. And then there was a traffic opposite as well. And really there was hardly any space. And we are with a big bus. Finally, we got back to the highway. And we thought that we are happy, we can be happy because we avoided the barricade. No, there was another one in front of us.
Oh, no.
And then it was already evening, so there was no way to get to the Jaipur city. And we got stuck in a smaller place in a hotel with several other tourists. what to do? What happens tomorrow? Because I contacted the embassy and they said, you know, it's a third world country. Anything can happen. We don't know, the police is quite weak and the situation is not under control. So actually they didn't know anything and there was nothing to
do. My goodness.
Yeah. Finally, we decided to depart early morning, the day after, because we got a tip that the rebels removed the barricades early morning. They went to sleep. So 5 o'clock in the morning, I woke up everybody in my group and I said, okay, quickly, everybody dress up, bring the luggages, we leave, we try to get in. And it was very, very good decision. And we passed by all the barricades, it's true. If we start later and we don't get this tip, we really get stuck for days in that hotel. But in this way, we managed to get through. But the day before, when we left this highway, it was a really bad quality road that we used. It's not really good for the bus. So the bus broke down. 5 o'clock in the morning. What happens like in Europe or anywhere else in a Western country when something like that happens at 5 o'clock in the morning? I think nothing. You can do nothing. You have to wait until the garage opens and then maybe they have to order spare parts, whatever takes days. Well, India is problematic, but here I learned that the solution is also easier because it was 5 o'clock in the morning. We just saw a bus along the road and we went to the house next to that and we knocked on the door. There was a woman opening the door and she said that the bus belongs to her husband. So we asked the husband if he could take us to the next city. So he could. It was a very Indian style bus. So quite dirty, quite small seats, no space for the luggages. So we packed up everything in the middle of the bus between the seats. And I don't know from where, there was a small cafe, 5 o'clock in the morning, there were people coming, gathering around our bus and starting to help to pack the luggages from one bus to the other and even serving tea for us.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's also tells a lot about India, this story, because, there are problems more often than anywhere else, but the solution also comes easier. As I told you, what would you do in another, I don't know, developed country is not so easy, but Indians still can also fix a lot of things with their hands and also more flexible. So we could continue with this bus. We managed to get to Jaipur. We didn't lose that much time in this way. And our old bus got repaired by afternoon. I don't know how they were so fast. It's amazing. So that was the story, I think, that that was really memorable.
Well, I think it's like, it's so interesting too, that like you said, like I was trying to think in North America, like I blew a tire on the highway in Ottawa, Canada recently. And it took me, I think, 2 hours sitting on the highway for someone to come and just change the tire that was in the back because it was a rental car. So I had to get the Canadian version of AAA to come get me. But like 2 hours just to change a tire. You guys like completely redid everything all at once. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. In the darkness at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then people were coming out of the blue, I don't know from where.
Yeah.
And helping us. So they are very helpful, the Indians. And yeah, anything can happen. After that, I think it all this took 3 days, and some tourists really got stuck for days. They couldn't continue, so we were lucky also at the same time, because you know it's a responsibility as a tour guide. We have a short program and we can't waste 3 days.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure you'll get like the people that accidentally get annoyed at you because they're trying to figure out who to be mad at, and then they take it out on the poor tour guide rather than like the situation who they should be upset at.
Well, yeah, there is some truth in that, of course, but this situation, everybody must understand, and as the ambassador also said, there's nothing you can do. If you go to such country, you have to know that things are working differently, and it's not really under control all the time, and you have to adjust. So it's true, but usually it doesn't happen every time. That it was a one-time thing, and we managed to solve it very well.
Well, yeah, I mean, vehicle failures can happen anywhere. My tripping up story for this episode is similarly about a vehicle failure. So I visited family that I had never met before in Serbia a number of years ago. And I was staying with my cousin in the city in Belgrade, but we were going to go out to Klisura, which is like a smaller kind of town outside of the city. It's more of a country village. And it's about like, I think an hour outside the city. It's not very far. So we waited till she got off work, and then we were going to drive and go out there. And her car had been doing some weird stuff leading up to this. Like we'd had to turn it on like maybe twice to get it going or something. And it was a new car, so it was weird that it was doing anything odd. And so at this one point, we're like trying to leave Belgrade, and we're going down a hill that's pretty much vertical. And halfway down the hill, her car just stalls and just stops. The engine is no longer working. Nothing is happening. It's dead. And it had gas. It had like everything was like, we sat there and we're two young women now on the streets of Serbia, not really sure what to do with ourselves. And she's from there at least, so she speaks the language, but neither of us have ever encountered this before, where a car just dies going downhill, because usually you'd think it would die going uphill or something. And there's a gas station just at the bottom of the hill. And luckily, some very nice gentleman notices our plight, leaves the gas station and comes up to see us with his car and tells us, put it in neutral and we'll push it into the gas station, all three of us together. So we're technically, this hill is a lead into a highway as well. I should have mentioned that. So cars are rushing past us, and there's the three of us. Like, she and I are not dressed to be pushing a car. He seems to be a mechanic of some sort, so he's prepared for this. But she puts me in the front in the driver's seat and says, like, okay, you steer while he and I push. And she's much smaller than I am. Like, I don't know, I'm 5'10". I think she was like 5'5", and the tiniest little girl. So I was like, are you sure? Should I, baby, take that spot? It's your car, like, you can drive it. And she's like, no, I got this. And oh my God, she did. The two of them like dragged us down this hill to the gas station, got us like parked in a corner. He looked into the car to figure out what was wrong and managed to get it started enough that we could leave, drive it back uphill. We weren't allowed to park or stop at all until we got to the mechanic, a new mechanic that she usually used. But it was, and then we had to call her parents who were waiting for us in Klisura and say, like, we can't come today because everything broke. So luckily, like, we ended up getting there by that afternoon. I think her uncle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Or her brother came and got us and we were able to get there and her car was fixed in the end. We still don't really understand what was wrong with it, but I will never forget having to be part of a team of three people pushing a car along a highway on-ramp in Serbia.
I think it's really great that that you get help when you are abroad. You don't know anybody, and I think sometimes in your own country you can expect less help than in a completely different country, and then it's also a wonderful experience. And if you let me tell me, I also have a similar story of this.
Go for it.
A car breaking down. I was in Morocco, and also the road quality. That time we were renting a car to go around. It's quite practical in Morocco, but the road quality is quite bad. So our tire just went down, and I was not worried at all because it's actually. It's very funny. We arrived at the city, and I was with my husband, and he looked very worried because you could hear the tire already, like there was a hole.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, now it's done. Now it happened. Let's go sightseeing. And then he was like, how can you go sightseeing when we don't know what to do with the tire? I don't know how to change. And I just told him, you know, we are in Morocco. The quality of the road is bad. I'm sure I go to somebody here. I ask a man, and he will definitely know how to change it in 2 minutes. So I'm not worried at all. So this is what happened. They are ready for that. Yeah, maybe in a very developed, comfortable world, we lack the skills. It's not so obvious that we know how to do that. I thought in such countries, they have to cope with that every day. It's not like it happens to us like once in 5 years.
Yeah,
they have it every day almost. And it's so basic for them that there is nothing to worry about.
Well, exactly. And you're so right. It's very much like a different skill set that they do have to have. And I think it's also like just shows the community effort of it, where here, like, yeah, if your car breaks down, you take it to the mechanic. There you like rally your neighbors to come help you. And maybe you do have to take it to the mechanic in the end. But if it's something small, it's kind of that like group knowledge being put to the work, where like someone will know how to do something, because you need to know how to do things. You need to be prepared for any situation. And you're right. I've been to Morocco, and those streets are horrific. Especially like, oh god, they're so winding. And I think the streets right around Marrakesh can like kind of be okay, but like I went to Fez and Casablanca, and I was pretty sure I was going to bounce clean out the roof of that car at some points.
Yeah, but it's still beautiful.
It is.
And also people are very helpful. So there is nothing to worry about. And if anybody is thinking about going to such country, then because what happens if something happens, then I would say that maybe you can expect more help than you think.
Yeah.
Than at home. So don't be afraid. So in general, Indians also very helpful and fix things in no time. Like my mobile got a lot of water. and it was not working. We were playing Holi. I don't know if you heard about the festival called Holi.
It's a
festival. When they throw colors on each other with water, without water, it's crazy.
Of course, it's so cool.
I participated. So my phone just broke because it got soaked. What to do? Fixing a mobile? I don't know. Nowadays here, they may say, no, we don't fix because it costs more than buying a new one. Okay. In India, I just asked our driver if you have a free time and if you find a place, because I'm working, I don't have time to have it fixed, then I would really appreciate it. And then we did a tour, we came back to the bus and he was giving me the phone and it's fixed. I said, really? I said, how much it cost? It was like $3. Okay.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
So solutions come quickly in India.
Yeah, like these are the good points, and this is why we're going to go into our next section, which I think is so important, is that travel has triumphs that help us get over those little hiccups and trip ups that we get into, because there's a reason we all love it, and we wouldn't do it if it was all the bad. So I'd love it if you would share with us your travel triumph and the reason that you like keep going and love travel.
Yeah, triumph. I think if we talk about triumph, it starts with a problem that in the end will come up as comes up as a success. It's again then no, we stay in India. It was an extraordinary situation 4 years ago, 2006. The Prime Minister of India decided to ban two banknotes, the 500 and the 1,000 rupees banknotes. These are the most common, you have to know that. Otherwise, there is like tiny 50, 100, that's it. The most commonly used are the 500 and the 1,000. He announced it on TV at 10 o'clock in the evening that from tomorrow, nobody can use them. We will revoke and we will issue new banknotes. It will be a 2,000 banknote. Okay, but nothing was very well planned. Nobody knew before. And I just arrived and we had a 3 week tour. I changed a lot of money for entrance fees, everything. So I was like thousands of dollars in my pocket, which were of no value from the day after.
Oh, no.
And it was like, nobody could be prepared. Why did he do that? Actually, he wanted to fight against the corruption in India because many people had a lot of money at home, from wherever sources, whatever sources, instead of putting into the bank, it wasn't taxed, it was black money. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, if you bring your money from home to the bank, then we will levy a tax of 20% on that. So it's good for everybody. They can keep their money, they don't lose, and also the government gets some income. If they don't take it to the bank, then it's an invalid banknote. Yeah. Oh, and goodness. So actually, it was a very smart decision, I think. Mm-hmm. But the country was really unprepared. There were tourists there, and then they were interviewing the tourists. They said, we don't know, we don't have any money. We can't enter attractions because the new money was not issued. It's not like, okay, these are banned, but from tomorrow you have the new money. No. For the next 2 days, everything was closed. Even ATMs, you couldn't use. Banks were closed. And then, so what do you do? Cards are not accepted. And it was like a real challenge every day, how we pay. I never thought I will ever get into a situation that we have money, but we can't use the money.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they changed money, but for a very low exchange rate. So it was a big loss. Also to the daily life, it was horrible. You still have to eat, you still have to drink. Sometimes I also changed black money from somewhere who had knew. I have some connections in India as I'm going there regularly. So my friend organized me something. Then I was happy. Okay, I have money for 2 days. but we had this 3 week tour. So it was very, very difficult, really. It was like a bit of survival.
Yeah.
And even after 3 weeks, there was no new money, like 2 months. And imagine also in the economy, people who are working in the agriculture, they have to buy things which are urgent, they can't postpone, and it was really unplanned. Smart decision to end corruption in India, but was not really well thought over. Mm-hmm. And there were like funny stories, funny videos appearing on the Indian TV that people... they're using the 500 rupees banknote as a Kleenex because it is completely useless.
Oh, goodness.
Or there were robberies. Some people like robbed some houses and then they robbed everything except the money because it has no value anymore. In the end, so we went through all the attractions, we could enter everywhere. In between, also the regulation changed. I changed money black, or sometimes we could manage it with credit card when it was possible. Sometimes they made exceptions for tourists at specific sites, but you didn't know what will happen the day after. Mm-hmm. And one more thing, they introduced that they issue now the new banknotes, but a limited amount every day per person. And this amount was like really like $20 per day, which is not much.
Yeah.
And even for locals. And to get as much as possible, the Indian families sent every family member to the bank to stand in the queue because they gave the new money per person. So the grandma was standing there, the grandpa was standing there, small and big, so that they can get as much new money as possible.
Okay, you always got to find those loopholes. I think loopholes are amazing.
Yeah, and then many tourist group, they canceled their trips because they heard about the situation. They heard that it's very difficult to manage in this way. They have this limit for the new money, which is not enough for many things. And they canceled. So it was also quite harmful for the Indian economy at that time.
Yeah, it would have been quite challenging. And I mean, and like, I've definitely, like Canada, we got rid of the penny a number of years ago, but it was a useless currency anyway. I mean, nothing, the penny did nothing for us. It was 1 cent. I still don't know why we got, like why we even had it as long as we did, but we've continued to have an issue where prices still have like pennies on them. So it'll be like something is, looks like you're cutting out a bit. Oh, there you go.
Now I hear you.
Okay. So, sorry. So Canada got rid of pennies, which is like 1 cent. And I don't know why it took us so long to get rid of them, but even like we got rid of them 7 years ago now. So, but you'll still go to a store and the price tag will still say like 197, but you can't, we only have 5 cents now. So you can't pay that 2 cents. It doesn't exist. And so what they've done for 7 years is just round up or round down and just like try to figure it out. But it's so frustrating that no one's gotten rid of it because like we don't have a penny to use it. So like my bank account has like the last digit is like 2 cents in it. And that 2 cents is useless. And I don't know why it's in there because I'll never get to use it because cents don't exist. But it's just so funny that like even in a developed country, they can forget parts of the rollout and like how they like they'll do one thing and then forget what they should do next.
We had the same in Hungary, by the way, that we don't have any more. We use forint, it's our currency. We don't have any more one and two, but the prices are given like that. So we also round up or down. Like you have to do yourself and then you give five more or one, two less.
that's the one good thing is that recently the machines have started telling you if it's like, if you're going to have to round up or down. Because for a long time, there was a lot of debate for like, I think 7-8 cents, like, which do we go up or do we go down? Which one do we do? And I was like, oh my goodness, like we all went to school. We should all have been able to figure this out enough, like from kindergarten and first grade. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I find like those little things are always kind of fun to experience when you travel. And like, especially like you said, because you triumphed through it and you overcame the confusion of it all and were able to kind of survive the lack of money.
Yeah, you are right. And when you solve problems, and there are problems when you travel, definitely. But in the end, when you can solve everything, then you can be satisfied, and it gives you the strength and the motivation to continue. And the more problems you solve, actually, I think the more. You become more brave to go to other destinations, maybe a bit less touristic, maybe really less developed because, you know, okay, I handle there. I think you have to go through steps. You shouldn't start like in India as a solo traveler. I wouldn't recommend. But slowly, then you know that everything is manageable.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And it really does... It builds your confidence because like problem solving around your home, you always have backups if someone else could help you, someone else could deal with it. But yeah, when you're alone in the world, even on a tour in the world, you're still kind of like that group is alone in that area and you have got to like come together and figure out what to do. And it really does empower you and it makes you feel like so intelligent and so cool. Like you're so proud of yourself after where you're like, yeah, I did that. Even if it's something small, it's always like, I don't know, I could probably like save the world in Toronto and I would feel less impressed than like, I don't know, when I figure out my way home when I'm lost on the subway in Amsterdam or something.
Yeah, because you are forced to do that. You are alone and then you have to figure out how you do things. And it can be tiring. Yeah, I think sometimes, okay, now what to do? And it would be good to have somebody around. But I also believe in that when you are alone, then there is also fate in that. I'm always lucky somehow. <Yeah. laughs> That when I need somebody to do to be there or something, then it comes.
Yeah, I love that. And this has been such a lovely chat with you. And I think it was fated that you were going to be on the podcast with all of your amazing stories. So thank you so much, Agnes. We've loved having you on Tripping Up.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Attention passengers, we've now reached our destination. We hope you enjoyed the flight and have a nice day.
Wow, I'm still stressed about the idea of money just like not being worth anything and having to try and figure that out. So I am so impressed with Agnes and her ability to handle that and overcome it and not be like most travelers who would cancel and bail, because I definitely would have been that kind of a traveler, or calling my travel insurance crying. If you want to hear more from Agnes, check out her website, voiceofguides.com. Her blog is really interesting, where it shares the perspective of a tour guide and travel writer who's going to all these amazing off the beaten path destinations. I really love her posts about India because I've always wanted to go there, have yet to visit, and don't really know a lot about it. In particular, you should check out her post, Why India is a Love or Hate Thing, where she talks about people's different opinions on visiting and how the culture shock can really make it hard for people to understand just how amazing the country is. If you'd like more from me as well, check out my website, ninaoutandabout.ca. I've got a lot of amazing content on there, including some other travel horror stories you may never have heard of and that may make you never want to travel again because they don't have a lovely comedy focus to go with them. I hope you guys are having an amazing fall And we'll be back soon with another amazing episode of Tripping Up. Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.